Welcome to the Mel Kay Show. And I want to talk to somebody about the big picture view, somebody who's been doing this for decades, watching what is happening to our country, both inside this country and geopolitically. Harvey Schlanger is one of the guys. Sorry, I said your name wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hold on. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited to welcome back my guest today. He's somebody who's been doing decades of work looking at the geopolitical and what is happening in our country, and we are in very unprecedented times. So nobody better to bring on than Harvey Schlanger to talk about what is going on in this country and what we the people can do about it. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Mel. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. And you as well. Just to remind my audience, for anyone that doesn't know your background, which is very impressive, and you've been fighting for freedom and liberty for decades. So please tell my audience a little bit about yourself, then we'll get into where we are now.
Well, coming out of a student activist background in the late 60s, I met Lyndon LaRouche in 1972. And for the last 52 years, I've been involved in the LaRouche organization. I was his speaker, spokesman for a while. I'm currently the president of the LaRouche organization, but mostly I'm a fighter for truth and justice, and have made a commitment to that as a life's work, writing, doing interviews. Recently, I've been doing interviews all over the world because people want to know what's wrong with this United States. And it's not because they're opposed to the people of the United States or even the United States itself. They see our government as toxic, as a danger to peace, a danger to civilization. So trying to, at the same time, present a positive approach to what the United States can do in the world, but also exposing the evildoers who seem to be able to get away with whatever they want, although I think that's changing.
Well, I do too as well. And more of the evildoers, as you call them, as I do as well, are exposing themselves more than ever. And I see this as a good sign that they are losing control. Their lawfare that they have pulled off now for now, you know, especially against Trump for many, many years, is on the forefront and it's falling apart every day. But the names and faces behind it seem to take us all the way back to 2015 and a whole bunch of people that again and again, it appears, have hijacked the Department of Justice or use novel legal theories to continue to keep America in chaos while we are not really being told the news on the front of what is happening to this country. So that is good news. Now, first, I wanted to ask you about all of these cases involving Donald Trump seem to be coming to a place where the American people no longer trust the judicial system on a large scale. And this isn't right and left, Republican and Democrat. This is people looking at our Justice Department, and especially with some of the recent bills that were passed where they didn't even debate, they didn't even take into account what the American people wanted. So when you lose trust in the legal system and the judicial system and this intelligence branch that I don't even think should exist, what is that? What happens to a country?
Well, for one thing, we have no dignity. We send someone like Tony Blinken around the world. Blinken is about the worst excuse we've ever had as a Secretary of State, which is fitting because Biden may be the worst president we've had.
Right.
Blinken is a protege of Madeleine Albright, who is a protege of Zbigniew Brzezinski. And when you say we go back to 2015, you know, I could go back to the end, when the change actually started with the assassination of John Kennedy.
Right.
But for purposes of this discussion, look, we've had a hijacking of the legal system, of the intelligence system. We used to actually have an intelligence community that functioned.
Right.
Our military is in terrible shape. I just read that the F-35 stealth bombers, the ones that are just coming off the assembly line now, are being sent back because they're defective. So then you mentioned the legal case. Here's where I think it is important to go back to the 80s and realize that this was largely done under George Herbert Walker Bush. The shift in the legal system, which was to some extent targeting Lyndon LaRouche, because LaRouche was working with Ronald Reagan in 1982. Kissinger set up a Get LaRouche task force. The person who took the legal case against LaRouche was none other than Robert Mueller. And this was in 1987. And what were the charges? Conspiracy to defraud the IRS, one man conspiracy to defraud the IRS. And LaRouche was given a 15-year prison term. So we're dealing with things that go way back. And I think the important thing is that we can see that they're playing the same game. They're not very intelligent, but they have power. They have the power of the media. They control the Federal Reserve System, the money system. And that's the problem that we have. The good news is, as you said, people are waking up, but it's not just in the United States, it's around the world. The United States is now looked upon as a rogue nation.
Right.
You know, the way we used to look at other countries we considered rogue nations, Blinken talks about the rules-based order. What are these rules? Who is he fooling?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I was just on a panel discussion in Cameroon talking about the breakout from the French colonial period of Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and others. Today in Niger, they just killed the leader of the ISIS terrorism group there. This was the military that carried out a coup against the French who couldn't find the guy. The people from Niger kicked the French out. And what was Macron's response? Let's send French troops to Ukraine.
I mean, we are
Funny point on that, Mel. One of my friends from the French military said Macron is saying that because he doesn't want the French Foreign Legion in France because they would probably pull a coup against him.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we are. But what you're saying is so important because it appears that a lot of these people are protecting themselves rather than putting the country first or, God forbid, the Constitution or the people of this country. They're putting themselves first. And what's very dangerous on a long-term level is we were always the people that stepped in when other nations were harming their people under the guise of protecting, you know, human rights and civil rights and all of this. And now the rest of the world, from what I'm seeing, is like, well, the U.S. has lost their standing to ever go to another country and say, hey, look what you're doing to your people, because they're doing it to us. And that is the scary part, is that that is happening. But on the same level, another thing that's happening is, I'm sure you're following this as well, but apparently in the beginning of the Ukraine situation, the Biden-Blinken administration froze a lot of assets, I believe $300 billion of Russian private assets. Yeah. Now, not only, so freezing them is one thing, the sanction warfare, it's caused a lot of problems. It actually, when they did that, it appears that it pushed Russia and China and the BRICS nations forward, and they had already planned for that. But now Yellen's talking about, and Blinken, stealing that money and sending it to Ukraine. So here we have the rest of the world looking at America now and saying, oh, so it's not just sanctions, it's actually theft of foreign nations' money, sovereign money, giving it to another nation. And, you know, again, who loses here? The American people, and the credibility of now our financial system is now criminal to a certain extent in the eyes of foreign leaders.
Well, who in their right mind would put their nation's reserves in a U.S. or a Western bank after this seizure of $300 billion and the threat to distribute it to Ukraine? Now, there's a key word here that a lot of people know, but they may not know the full significance of: sovereignty. What we're seeing is what you described, nations that are standing up for their own people, nations that previously were ruled by colonial usurpers, who sold off their raw materials cheaply, their labor cheaply. That was the whole World Trade Organization, the World Economic Forum. The whole global system was a global central banker's dictatorship that required subservient nations and leaders of countries who were willing to sell off their sovereignty for a pound of gold.
Right.
Now what's happening is they're standing up and saying, no, we're defending the rights of our people. And that was something that historically came from the United States. We were the first anti-colonial nation because we defeated the British Empire. And we helped other nations that wanted to overthrow the imperial control. But after the Kennedy assassination, and especially the emergence of people like Kissinger and Brzezinski, the United States replaced the British Empire using the same British imperial methods, geopolitics, divide and conquer, and so on. And we proclaimed ourselves the indispensable nation. That's what Madeleine Albright said, which meant we can do what we want. We'll tell you what to do. That's what the rules-based order is. You do it or you get NATO visiting you. Now, the problem is NATO is not so scary anymore. We're watching what's happening in Ukraine, where the Russians are literally devastating all these weapons that came from NATO. Right. NATO is out of weapons. We just had this $60 billion new Ukraine bill. Most of that is not going to go into weapons into Ukraine. It's going to go into the pockets of the military, industrial, financial complex in the United States and to Zelensky's kleptocrats. So virtually everything we're doing is backwards, is wrong. And so your point about the $300 billion, this is why the BRICS and the new financial system is emerging, because they realize that they're under the control of the weaponization of the dollar.
Right.
They have no control over that. Who controls it? It's Wall Street and the City of London. And they don't give a damn about any other country. In fact, look what they're doing to their home countries. The United Kingdom is a complete disaster. The United States, the cities are breaking down. We have no infrastructure. The education system is terrible. But the people are getting mad. And that's the good thing. Yeah. You know, my friend Ray McGovern the other day said in a discussion we were having, the first thing is to get angry. It's okay to get angry, but then you have to have courage.
Yeah.
And if you have the courage to overcome the anger, and then I would add, you need love. You need love of the people. And most of our political leaders love themselves, but they don't, I mean, I'm not even sure they love themselves.
I know. Well, seeing them power on the floor with the Ukraine flags, waving the Ukraine, half those people
wasn't
probably.
That something?
It was so destructive to, but you have to believe, you know, Trump says a lot of times, they're not after me, they're after you, I'm in the way. I keep saying, no, they're not after America, they're after the world, and America is in the way. And we should take that seriously. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our sovereignty, our all the things that they're destroying, our dollar, all this stuff, these people are destroying it on purpose. Because I believe at this point, Harley, and I don't know how you feel about this, but this is what I've come to believe following the money here. It appears to me that there is a public-private partnership that I call the parent company running the United States. And these people are committed to this global governance model. And at the very top of that, I see people like Larry Fink, who seems to not only run BlackRock, but he's on the board of the World Economic Forum, pushing the Great Reset, pushing ESG scores, pushing the digital track and trace, which is coming a lot from the appendages of the UN, including the World Economic Forum. He's also apparently the only financial services company that works freely in communist China. And of course, people miss the idea that the Communist Chinese Party is also at the top of the UN, also at the top of the World Economic Forum. So we have this group that apparently seems to be functioning above our government. And there was a speech by Larry Fink shortly before the rollout of COVID, where he was talking about going direct to the people. And it was him with all of the, I think, the governors of the Fed, but a lot of the multinational corporation people that are globalist companies, the banks. And he's basically saying we have to go direct to the people. And now looking back, what I think he was saying was, skip the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and those dummies in the three branches. We have the power to change the people, to get them on board. And that's the train I think is running. And people are not fully seeing that if that happens, like in the book 1984, Power for Power's Sake, we're not getting our country back if they actually pull this off. I don't think they can, but I do think that's what he's saying.
Well, Mel, you're obviously doing your homework, because when you mentioned Fink and BlackRock, that's at the center of what we refer to as the military industrial financial complex. And that this is, you know, Klaus Schwab is sort of a junior partner in this. Right. People think that he's the big boogeyman. Go back to 1980s. Walt Wriston, who was the head of, at the time, what was it, Citibank. Wriston wrote a book called The Twilight of Sovereignty, which laid all of this out. Then take Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, The Technocratic Society.
Right.
They had this all mapped out. What they were afraid of was what would happen if we still had a Soviet Union and Communist China as enemies. When the Soviet Union collapsed, they saw this as their great opportunity to assert the liberal democratic imperial model. And when you were talking about who's running this, Fink is a good example. But people like Mark Carney, the former head of the Bank of England, who's now the leading green controller of the United Nations agenda. King Charles was at the center of this as part of the City of London. You can go through lists of names, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all the familiar enemy right. names are there. But what did they believe? They believe there are too many people, and therefore you have to share the resources too much. They want a subservient population, and if they have to kick a little bit of money to them once in a while to keep them subservient, they're happy to do that, but they prefer using drugs and entertainment to yeah. dull the minds so they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But what's their ultimate agenda? It's a world run by global corporate cartels, right. what in the 20s and 30s were called the trusts, what later on became the conglomerates. And these have no home nation. They exist as international bodies over and above nations. They try to use countries. They try to use China. That was part of the whole opening with the World Trade Organization and so on. But the Chinese aren't going along with it. The Chinese actually, with the BRICS, are supporting the sovereign nation states. They're fighting for that. That's why Blinken just went to Taiwan with an $8 billion check in his pocket. I mean, imagine the chutzpah of this guy. Yeah. He goes to Taiwan, or he goes to China, and he says, you have to stop funding Russia's war in Ukraine. Now, first of all, the Russians are not getting money from China. They may be getting some technical components. But what are we doing? We're funding that war.
Right.
We're also funding an insurgency inside China because we recognize Taiwan as part of China. Imagine if Xi Jinping came to El Paso, Texas, and handed out $8 billion to separatist forces in Texas. You know, there'd be
openly.
War.
Yeah, well, yeah. He apparently controlled San Francisco. Remember, they cleaned it all up for him, so he could just go there, I think. But yeah, that's the important thing. And you bring up Brzezinski, and I wanted to ask you, because you've been doing this a long time, and there's certain things people don't know about. But when I look at the cabinet of O'Biden, I call him, the O'Biden cabinet, I see a lot of these trilateral commission people, and I think people don't know what the trilateral commission is, and I think you do. So what is the goal of these people? Because when you look, you're seeing Rice and Blinken and Sullivan, and all these people are in a club that it seems to be the, again, a Rockefeller brought up club. At the same time, it looks like its trajectory is the Council of Foreign Relations. What is the Trilateral Commission, and what is their goal? We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Well, again, let's just go back a little bit before the Trilateral Commission, because the coming out of World War I, Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, MI6, was the center of the world empire. And they realized they couldn't sustain it because Russia was growing, Germany was growing, Japan, China, they were all growing. So they needed to bring the United States in with them. That's when the Council on Foreign Relations was set up. American bankers, you know, people like the father of George Shultz, the Harrimans, the Rockefellers, the Prescott Bush crowd.
Right.
And they were involved in the 20s and 30s with the trusts that put Hitler in power. And then after World War II, there was a rebellion against that from people like Eisenhower. Eisenhower may not have been the greatest man, but he recognized that he didn't have the power of the presidency he was supposed to have. That's why he gave the speech on the military-industrial complex. But also in 1956, when Israel, France, and Britain invaded Egypt, because Egypt was going to nationalize the Suez Canal, They ask Eisenhower to join them. Eisenhower said, "You get your asses out of Egypt, or we're going to start dumping the British pounds we're holding." And within 24 hours, the British called it off. Kennedy had the same attitude against the colonial world. And Kennedy had a bit of growing up to do after the Cuban Missile Crisis, but he did. And he was moving against that. Now, that's where Kissinger was a Rockefeller man. And he was brought in to run the Nixon administration. Now, he's a little different than Brzezinski, but their backgrounds are the same. British intelligence. Brzezinski learned the whole strategy from Bernard Lewis, a British lord and history professor, who came up with the idea of playing the Islamic card. In other words, use Islamic terrorism against nations that don't go along with you. That's why we use Afghanistan against the Russians. What did we do there?
Right.
We created Taliban and ISIS. That was Brzezinski and Albright. Now, Kissinger, on the other side, was tied to Chatham House. He gave a speech in 1982 at Chatham House, British intelligence, and said, "When I was Secretary of State, I worked for British papers before I talked to the American intelligence community." So when Donald Trump met with Putin in Helsinki in 2018 and came out afterwards and said he trusted Putin more than he did US intelligence, he was not just shooting from the hip. He knew this. US intelligence was taken over lock, stock, and barrel in the 80s by George Bush, who was moving against the Reagan idea. Then you had this Clinton period where who was running Clinton's policy? Madeleine Albright. Then what followed then, George W. Bush with Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, a whole crew of neocons. They're interchangeable. You know, they're slightly different, but you know Victoria Nuland quite well, I'm sure.
Yes.
Her husband, Robert Kagan, is from the Kagan family, one of the leading neocon families.
Right.
He was very close to Barack Obama. Also, one of the people who helped create Obama as a political figure was Cass Sunstein, a University of Chicago professor, husband of the incredibly witchy Samantha Power, the sidekick of Susan Rice, who you mentioned earlier.
Right.
You have this small pool of people
exactly.
who have run every administration since they pushed Reagan aside.
Yeah.
And they were left out by Trump. So they had to figure out how to get back in. So what do? They used the lawfare and corrupt intelligence community, Brennan and others,
yep.
to run Russiagate. And that's why I brought up the LaRouche connection from the 80s.
Right.
They studied how to destroy an independent political figure, what Robert Mueller and William Weld did to LaRouche. And they brought the whole team together to go after Trump.
Yeah.
With Hillary Clinton, with this whole gang.
Yeah, and we have to look at what you just brought up. Cass Sunstein is behind the scenes working for Mayorkas, writing the legal changes to the asylum and border rules. This guy is a hero to these people. He wrote the Nudge book. He was a mentor.
Exactly.
He was a mentor to Obama. If you look through, I think he was behind the reversing of the Smith Modernization Act. He doesn't believe in the First Amendment. Married to Samantha Power, who is running what I believe to be the regime change. Money bags over there at
Agency
USAID.
For International Development. Exactly.
Right.
And she was the one who put forward this idea of responsibility to protect.
Exactly. I keep worrying about that.
The Blair Doctrine.
Oh, wow.
That's what was used to get us into Iraq, where it happened.
And Libya.
Bush.
And Libya. Yeah. I mean, it's so illegal, that responsibility. I'm so glad you brought it up, because I keep saying to people, Samantha Power, responsibility to protect. Soros also, big responsibility to protect person. Yeah. That's what they do. And what I see going on, this is kind of a side thing, but I did a whole show on the responsibility to protect, because early when they came in, Blinken and Sullivan and all these people and the woman that they put into the UN, they tasked the UN with assessing the United States, civil rights violations, gun violence, all the different like buzzwords that come up when anything chaos, or racism. And I'm thinking, oh, so they're going to stir the pot at some point, make it so chaotic in America that they could possibly pull the responsibility to protect card here. And everyone's like, no, they couldn't do that. I'm like, these are the people that are behind it that they put back in. That's why I ask about trilaterals, because I think they were against the border. So, I mean, we're talking about people in there that are all lifelong. You know, we got Rhodes Scholars, you know, back there. We got all these people.
But let's go back to the Trilateral Commission for a moment, because that's important.
Right.
No one had heard of them when Jimmy Carter started running for president. His administration was the Trilateral Commission, and it had one of the key people was Paul Volcker, who headed something called the 1980s Project. It included Michael Blumenthal, who became the Treasury Secretary. It included Harold Brown, the Defense Secretary. All of them were committed to a Brzezinski plan to subvert the Soviet Union and go in and loot the resources of Russia using Islamic terrorists on the southern border surrounding the Soviet Union. And they had all of these policies in the, I think it's 12 volumes, the 1980s Project. In 1977, we put out a pamphlet called Carter and the Party of International Terrorism. And we were fighting them because LaRouche had gone to the Middle East and came up with a plan to solve the crisis between Israel and its neighbors, which was a water plan. And he got an agreement from the Iraqi government to provide $25 billion to build canals and desalinate water that would benefit Israel, Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. And that's when they went berserk against LaRouche, because all of a sudden he was talking to people like Shimon Peres, Rabin's sidekick. He was having an impact. And that's when Ronald Reagan brought him in to negotiate the Strategic Defense Initiative with the Soviets, because that was LaRouche's idea. And so what did they do? They went after him, lock, stock, and barrel. And what was their main charge? That our organization was anti-Semitic.
Oh, wow. And I didn't know
we
that.
We had to fight the Anti-Defamation League every single day. And, you know, so I've watched this over the years. I helped write a book, The Ugly Truth About the ADL, with my colleague, Jeff Steinberg.
Me at all. I'm full on their books, anti-Semitic. It's fine. I look at it all and I think it's ridiculous, because if you look at Obama's administration, you had that Greenblatt guy in the same room with the Muslim Brotherhood with Obama coming out together like they were all friends. And you're thinking, what is going on here? They're hijacking all these different institutions. They can keep the name Southern Poverty Law Center or ADL or NAACP, but they're really activist organizations that are pushing us for the fundamental transformation of America using the people that they pretend to be fighting for. And the good thing is, though, Harley, now is I think people see all these groups, these NGOs that shouldn't exist and should certainly not get $1 of taxpayer money via grants or 501c3 status, but as what they are, you know, organizations that are above our government, that are functioning as, you know, people making policy while
as
our government is
government, the secret government. But it's not so hidden anymore. But here's the best news on this. By using the anti-Semitism card against opponents of what Netanyahu's doing, they're destroying that as a tactic. Because you have Jewish students as part of these demonstrations. And what are they demonstrating against? They're not demonstrating against Jews. They're demonstrating against genocide. They're demonstrating against the military-industrial complex. And if you start calling 17, 18, 19-year-olds anti-Semitic because they don't like what Biden's doing with Israel. By the way, did you see the CNN poll? 70% of Americans don't support Biden's policy on Israel. And 81% of those between 18 and 34 don't support it. Now, the question is, what is it that we should do? I mean, what you said before is right. We should take all the power away from these non-governmental organizations. Yeah. But one of the ways to do it, and this is one of the genius tactics that LaRouche had, is go back to the Glass-Steagall Bill of banking regulation so that they can't use the banks as laundromats for government money, drug money, and under Dodd-Frank, they can take your money because the bail-in provision now exists.
I know.
And Mel, here's the reason we're in this situation with wars and chaos is we now have a $34 trillion debt. It's growing faster than ever. Not last 9 months added 1 trillion to it. The interest on that is 1 trillion a year. We now have more than $1 trillion in a defense budget that's funding losing wars.
Yeah.
We get nothing from these wars.
And nobody does either. At the end of the day,
yeah.
It's always what I've studied all the way back to World War One and before. It's always the people that rebuild the country that was destroyed that benefit. Nobody else, not that country. And most of those countries, look at Libya now. Look at some of these countries. They lay in ruin and they become, you know, predators, prey. And you know, and that's the biggest, that I think that's one of the things that is bringing people together as well, because what you brought up about what's happening on campus, I think there's a lot going on too at these universities. You know, if you trace it back to kind of who took over some of these universities, but that's less of the point than that. I believe that all of the wars going on planet Earth right now are being funded on both sides by the same people, and that they're trying to push this order out of chaos. And as many people as are fighting amongst each other, fighting without seeing them, because again, I not only think that there's a public-private partnership that's running America as if they're the parent company above the government, but I think there's a world body that is also above them. You know, when you look at this world body, it's and I keep saying to people, the hard part about looking at that, first of all, if you look at the UN Summit of the Future coming up, or you look at our common agenda or some of the other things coming out of all the tentacles, what you'll see is they all say the same thing, all the way up to the BIS and the IMF, that nation states no longer work. Therefore, global governance is the only way forward. And we are going to be the global government.
What do they mean by that? Here's the interesting thing. If you go back to the Great Reset that was announced in the Jackson Hole, Wyoming conference
exactly.
in 2019, what they mean is you can't allow elected bodies to make policy
exactly.
because they might be susceptible to their constituents.
Right.
This is the attack on the constitutional republic. What they say is that we need to have the bankers run it, and they need technocrats, technicians like the IMF bankers or World Bank bankers or BIS, you know, who are actually the Nazi bankers.
I know.
Let them make the policy and let the people think they're doing it, but let the people fight over left and right issues.
Right.
Divide them on, this is what geopolitics is. You divide people on the smallest possible common denominator. And that's what the whole woke culture is about. I can't really imagine that more than a couple percent of the people in this country really are passionate about woke culture.
No.
So why is it so much in the news, so
right.
everywhere you turn? And that's a way that you divide people, just as you use religion, you use
right.
wedge issues like abortion and things right. of that sort. The real question is, we now have 40 million people in the United States below poverty level, 40 million. We used to have the world's largest middle class. That's disintegrating.
So
we have the biggest gap in the world between the billionaires. And by the way, you mentioned Fink. Who's going to benefit from rebuilding Ukraine, assuming the war ever ends?
Fink and Chase and CCP up to the tune of $600 billion, which they announced in September of last year.
Don't forget Vanguard and Archer Daniels Midland, who are the junior partners in this.
Exactly.
They'll take over the raw materials, they'll take over the agriculture, and that's why they can't stop the war. Some people think Biden has to keep it going because he doesn't want to look like the losing president in a war. Well, that's partly how he's being manipulated. But the real issue is the target is not freedom for Ukraine, it's destroying the BRICS. And if you look again at the Middle East, look what just happened last August with the BRICS. They added the United Arab Emirates,
right.
Saudi Arabia, Iran, Egypt, and Ethiopia. Five countries that surround the area of the Red Sea, Mediterranean, Dead Sea. Now what, then all of a sudden the Gaza war breaks out. So what
right.
does it do? It creates more tension, more war. The gang up, let's blame Iran. Try to win Saudi Arabia away from China. You know, the Saudis are actually quite sharp right now. They're accepting yuan for the oil they sell to China.
Right.
They're working together to put development projects in place. And what are we doing? money for weapons to blow it all up.
It's such a disgrace. It's such a tragedy that the people aren't getting the truth at all, because the other thing that's going on is it's a total and complete lie that Putin is going to go into the rest of Europe. I mean, this is a total fraud. And you're hearing all these talking heads on TV that are in the government, supposedly they're just figureheads at this point, as far as I can see, talking about, well, if we don't save Ukraine, he's going to go. No, that is not true. And besides, it doesn't even behoove him. And then what about all the natural resources there? You're talking about, you brought up ADM, Archer Daniel Midland. Well, there's already a report out that a lot of the farmland in Ukraine has already been usurped. Right.
Zelensky nationalized it. He took it away from the farmers and sold it off to Larry Fink.
Yeah. And don't forget, on top of that, they were already testing out social credit score, digital ID, FTX was all in there, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Bioweapons labs.
Exactly. So it's been since, and you brought up Newland earlier, since the 2014, but quite frankly, before then. But most people say since 2014, we've been using the Ukraine, or not we, the parent company running America and the UK, I believe they're in cahoots, have been using the Ukraine as a lab. As some kind of laboratory, as some kind of staging ground. Also came out in the New York Times intelligence, paper. They're not telling us things they don't want us to know, that 12 CIA installations along the front. So Harley, have you ever seen them? They're telling us, and it's like this is a new tactic of this. I always say, while the poison Ivy League, I call it the poison Ivy League, dumb down our kids. They dumb down their kids too, because their kids seem to be running this operation of telling us. They put out white papers. They're telling us everything that they're doing, and it's all in. They don't hide it, and yet you and I can see it. And believe me, if you and I can see it, millions of people can see it. So what I see also is kind of, and I don't mean with the guillotines and stuff, but there's a kind of French Revolution situation too here right now, where people are looking at like, who are these people? Why do they have authority? Because they work for a think tank or an NGO or whatever. They're not, they don't represent us. They don't even have anything in common with us.
what Ray McGovern and I were on a panel on Saturday having a discussion, and he said, what was hidden is no longer hidden. And he said, we're seeing the iPhone revolution.
Oh.
And he said, this is something that he's been hoping would happen. And he said, look, a lot of these kids don't know much about anything, but they do know they don't like their future. They don't like the fact that tax dollars are going into these wars.
Right.
They don't like the fact that they're the kind of jobs that are available, they're not getting trained for in schools where they're paying $60,000, $70,000 a year.
I know.
And so we have an opportunity now. And instead of reacting to the fact that, Soros is putting some money into these campus things, well, Soros is probably running the provocateurs the same way he and Victoria Nuland did it in Ukraine.
100%. That's where Nuland is. People are like, where's Nuland? She's at the National Endowment for Democracy. That's what she
along
is.
Along with Hillary.
Right. I mean, they don't even hide it. And that's the great part here, though, is that it's such a small group. I mean, I could talk to you all day, but if we take it back to the beginning of Crossfire Hurricane to where we are now, this is a small group of people that do not hide. You know, even if you look at all during Trump's term when he was and he was pulling out. I don't like these people that keep saying he's part of the globalist thing. No, he wasn't. He was pulling out of UNESCO. He was pulling out of the World Health Organization, TPP, the migrant thing.
Paris Climate.
Yeah. Right. Paris Climate Accords. So something's going on there that isn't being that I think people should pay attention to, because I don't know if you've seen this, but on the White House website right now in September of 2023, the Biden-Harris regime put out a recommitment to Agenda 2030 and global goals. And I have like an opposition playbook place on my resource page on the MelKayShow.com, because these are disappearing from the internet, these documents that they put out themselves. And in that, they commit, say that Barack Obama signed on to Agenda 2030 in 2015. Biden Harris are going to finish it, basically, and have the America lead it. And they delineate the 17 development goals, which I say is the totalitarian technocratic surveillance state. And they are delineating trillions of dollars in this one document still on the White House website to all globalist organizations. They put out a globalist plan for global health just 3 weeks ago. It's just as bad as the World Health Organization, but run by them. These aren't Americans. They're not representing America.
Let me pull together here, which I think will put us toward the end. If you look at what we're facing, look what happened on the Ukraine, Israel, China vote.
Right.
The role of the Speaker of the House. Now, who is manipulating that? He's somewhat of a mediocrity who may be compromised. He's not exactly a great statesman or thinker.
Right.
But who was working on him? Mike Pompeo, who is one of the people who sabotaged Trump from the inside. And I know a lot of people who like Donald Trump think Pompeo is good. Let me tell you something. You know who Bill Binney is? The former technical director of the National Security Agency.
Yeah.
Trump heard that Binney did the study that proved that there was no hacking by Russia of the Hillary Clinton website. And he asked Pompeo, who is CIA director, to meet with Binney. I know Bill quite well. Bill met with Pompeo for an hour, showed him all the evidence he had to show that it was an inside job. It wasn't the Russians, it wasn't the Chinese, it was an inside job, maybe someone with the initial Seth Rich.
Yeah, exactly.
But in any case, at the end of the meeting, Binney said, so what are you going to do with this? And Pompeo said, I'll get to the president and then get back to you. He never got back to Bill Binney. I don't think he ever got to Trump. He is one of these people who's an insider, the globalist, just like John Bolton was, like Steve Mnuchin was, the Treasury Secretary. And so because of Russiagate, Trump was distracted. But here's the other thing. Who are the first two people taken out by Russiagate? Roger Stone.
And Flynn.
Flynn, three people. Flynn, Roger Stone, and Paul Manafort.
Right.
Now, Roger was the one who actually devised the campaign strategy for Trump in 2016.
Right.
But he was knocked out, and instead Bannon came in, and Bannon didn't come in until August. Manafort was the one who pulled together the campaign strategy and things like Glass-Steagall and other things. He was knocked out.
Right.
And Flynn, of course, was knocked out. Flynn was the one who knew that the United States under Obama was creating the terrorist international we were supposedly fighting.
Right.
So you knock them out and you leave Trump in there, you know, as someone who's, I think, had good intentions and a lot of good instincts, but didn't have the personnel and the manpower to knock heads to get things done. And the swamp eventually was able to control his administration to the point that he was not able to win the fights he was trying to fight, like with the Russia alliance, the Paris, getting out of Paris and so on.
Yeah.
So what do we have now? The lawfare is an attempt to, if he can survive these legal cases, they're going to try and use these to keep him from being president again.
Yeah, and what you brought up before about Mueller, the one thing that I've done on my show really deeply is track these people. And I'm telling you, Weissman, Eisen, McCord, like there's very specific people. They all work through Brookings, who was also involved in the Russiagate, the two fake impeachments, everything else. But if you go all the way back to that meeting in the beginning, you know, they set up, now we know, I mean, you and I knew, but now it's been out. Once it's out in the New York Times, everyone knows it. but they set up Crossfire Hurricane. Brennan was sending people all over the world. So again, they put themselves back in power. They were involved with the Transition Integrity Project. Some people question the COVID rollout, all this stuff. So we are at a place
and
now.
Don't forget the role of Ukraine in this, because the first impeachment was around Ukraine. And the Ukraine operation was Joe Biden was the point man for the Obama administration with Victoria Nuland. Hillary and her crowd were involved in it.
Right.
Obama also. I mean, Obama, I don't think Obama's just a great, slick character, but he was used by them for their own purposes, and he was vain enough to accept it and greedy enough that he was happy to do it.
Yeah, I think he's a true believer, though.
Well, he's still there with people like Susan Rice and that whole crowd running the Biden administration. It's not even Blinken and Sullivan.
No.
And then you have the terrible alternative, the Republican Party, like Lindsey Graham. I don't know if you saw Lindsey Graham yesterday. He was saying, well, I was just meeting with Tony and Jake, referring to Blinken and Sullivan.
No, it's just
what's the next thing to do in terms of the Middle East?
I mean, it's so crazy, but they, you know, people have to still realize that we still do have a country. But again, I believe that we have been usurped. And I'll let you go. I want to ask you one more thing. We always have to have you back. It's always too much time in between since I learned so much from you. But I want to say this, that I think we have a big, big problem, too. When you talk about everything that's going on, you have a picture of Snowden behind you from that book. And I want to say, he was really warning about warrantless surveillance. I was too for months. I said that warrantless 702 is Crossfire Hurricane 2.0. You know, and then they're saying it's about foreigners. Foreigners don't have constitutional rights. So the warrant wouldn't have anything to do with foreigners. It would only have to do with citizens. But on top of that, out of the Patriot Act, and I had on two NYPD cops that then were in the FBI counterterrorism task force after 9/11, and they believed at the time the Patriot Act was necessary. What they did not foresee was that the Patriot Act would be used to create a fourth branch of government, essentially the intelligence community, with no oversight, that then Holder and Obama put the DOJ National Security Division as kind of their prosecution wing. And it appears to me that this intelligence blob that is unconstitutional and should not exist. And I want to remind people, there was plenty of intelligence, military and otherwise, before that was created, DHS and others.
Yeah.
They seem to have captured the other three branches, because the only thing I can explain, I can believe about the other three branches of government is that they're all being surveilled too. I mean, it just seems that is the biggest, to me, the privacy, the surveillance, the, like, as American citizens, maybe we have a license, a birth certificate, a social security card. But beyond that, without a probable crime and evidence, they shouldn't have any of our information. And yet it's the complete opposite. Everyone can be surveilled. So to me, I mean, is that an issue that you look at and think we can do anything about it? Because that to me is the scariest. And taking away immunity, like they're not surveilling them all already, is just to tell us.
Well, you don't think the people who voted for reauthorizing FISA knew all this?
I know they did. That's the scariest part.
Right. And Johnson broke the tie to knock out the amendment to disallow warrantless wiretapping. Now, this gets to your other point about a private partner, private-public partnership.
Right.
Intelligence is now completely controlled by this, what you might call the secret government, the deep state, whatever, which was consolidated, as Snowden warned.
He did.
Consolidated around spying and the fact that you no longer have rights. Now, I don't know if you heard this, but Congressman Richie Torres, who's a Democrat from the Bronx, New York, and Mike Lawler, a Republican from New York, just introduced a bill called the Columbia Bill, which calls for setting up anti-Semitism monitors at every university to spy on students and to possibly extend it into the workplace in the future.
Oh my God. As if they were not already in danger of everything we say and do. Oh my God.
You mentioned 1984. We have an SS thought police.
Really?
That grew out of this whole NSA operation from 9/11 and the Patriot Act.
And why should the NSA have relationships with all of big tech that they can get in? I mean, it's so huge and there's no oversight. And you brought up Mueller before, and that whole crew, they seem to be lawfaring that to be okay. I mean, it does feel like the lawfare crew, I call them the fifth column, and the unconstitutional intelligence branch of the government work for the public-private partnership. And again, that's not a lot of people. But for in a country of 350 million people, we should really have a problem with that. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water, and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today.
Well, here's the problem they have. They're going broke. They can only continue to keep this Ponzi scheme going if we keep paying into it, if we keep giving our rights away. And I think it's a little late for the 2024 election in terms of the Congress, But there are two independents who are friends of mine running in New York City, in New York State,
Good.
Diane Sayre and Jose Vega for Congress. He's running against Richie Torres, who just introduced this Columbia Act bill. But I think every person, when a congressman comes to ask for your vote, ask him, why did he allow the government to spy on you? What did he do to stop FISA?
Right.
What did he do to stop the tens and hundreds of billions of dollars going to foreign dictators to fight wars that we have no stake in?
Right.
We have to confront them.
Exactly.
And don't count on political leaders because they make promises and lie. They get corrupted. We have to do it as people. And I think this is where I agree with McGovern that anger and courage are extremely important to stand up and tell the truth in the face of these lying, corrupt, greedy, egotistical would-be aristocrats. And we're not an aristocratic nation. We're a nation of productive people, of thinkers, of doers. And we've got to get back to that. And that's what I learned over my 50-year relationship with Lyndon LaRouche. That's what I'm trying to impart to everyone I can talk to.
Yeah.
And I think that to just finish on this private public partnership, that is the model. But when people say the government's the problem, it's who's running the government. Our constitutional system could work if we had a population that was committed to fight. And that's what Eisenhower said in his speech about the military-industrial complex. He said, the only thing that protects us is an educated and aware citizenry.
Right.
That's what we need. And Mel, I salute you for the work you do, because I think it's extremely important that we get these stories out there to the average person who has no access to this otherwise.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful for your work and all these years. I've actually had on a bunch of people that were connected from at one time or another to the LaRouche Institute. And God, you know, you look back, you see him and Ron Paul and a bunch of other people saying different things at different times. Even my dad voted for, what was his name? Who ran in the three, the, what was his name? The billionaire that ran in the 80s.
Ross Perot.
Perot. My dad voted for him. But you look at some of these people and you think, no wonder they were so marginalized and silenced. And, you know, if we even implemented some of what they wanted to do, which, of course, like you said, it all started with JFK. I firmly believe we've been in a cover up since. And anyone that gets in the way of this group of people that I feel like they're at their end days, I feel like they've never been so close. And they've also never been so far. And I honestly believe because of work like yours, I've seen you out there with Sean as well, a lot on SG2, who I love. And you know, getting out there, getting you people, you guys that saw this for decades evolve and kind of peeling back the layers. Like, no, it didn't start with Trump. It started years ago. And we have to know the history to be able to deal with it. But I believe come like midsummer, most of the American people, I'm talking like, I think like 20% left of center, 20% right of center will probably be realizing that we're all on the same side. And if we don't stand up for freedom and liberty and privacy and accountability now, well, what's the future look like? And that's why I say the 2024 election. No, I want you to end on it.
On that.
Yeah.
In 2010, when Obama was pushing through the bailout bill and all of that, I attended some rallies, and it was funny. On one side, you had the Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
And on the other side, the Tea Party.
Exactly.
And when they saw each other, they started yelling at each other, "You idiots, you don't know what you're talking about." And I got in the middle of them and I said, "Look, do you guys like the bailout?" None of them liked the bailout. "Do you like Obamacare? Do you realize this is a ripoff?" "Yeah." "Why are you fighting?"
Exactly.
"Forget this left-right crap."
Exactly.
That was developed by the French Revolution as an excuse to kill all the aristocrats. What we need instead is a national mission that we recruit, especially young people, to.
I agree.
And that's why I'm so hopeful that what's going on in the campuses can be directed toward a positive end.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Can you tell my audience how to follow you, where to find you, where to find your amazing work and everything you've been doing?
Sure. I last time I was on, I gave out my email address and I got over 150 emails from your loyal viewers.
I do.
If you want to contact me with a question or anything, it's harleysch@gmail.com. Or you can go to the LaRouche organization, and on our website where it says programs, you push the button and the first thing that comes up is Harley's Daily Updates.
Great.
I do a 10 to 12 minute daily video where I bring together current events from the standpoint of history.
Awesome.
So I'd encourage people to take this offer. It's all free. So
yeah. Thank you, sir. You know, there's people out there that will never give up on this country or on freedom or truly on humanity at this point, because I, like I say all the time, America has to realize we're standing not just for America, but for freedom all over the world. And that's up to we, the people. So thank you so much for being a leader in all of that. I will see you again, sir. Thank you.
Yes. See you sometime soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always looking for solutions, and there's one thing that I stress all the time. We have three things that really, really count in this fight to save America: our time, our money, and our vote. Well, every time you spend your money at one of the big box stores or one of the multinational corporations, you are giving them money to fund the controlled demolition of America. They do it through foundations and other means to make sure that our country is divided and not strong and not united. So what you need to do is you need to find a better way to invest in America with your dollars. I have found a solution. If you go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com and click on Set Me Free, Please. Yes, go to the partners page at melkayshow.com, click on Set Me Free, Please. It's time to make sure that your money is going towards saving America. It's going towards freedom and liberty and independence and away from centralization, control, and the multinational corporations that are running the public-private partnership that is destroying our country. So again, go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com, click on Set Me Free, Please, and get started today. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week. Share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at melkayshowlive.com is a community for you. That continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other,